Welcome. It's a dreary and cool Saturday afternoon out there. Strange weather for mid-July. It's 70 degrees and rainy. This is more like October. But welcome. You're listening to the paper version of Woods and Water, South Carolina today. The electronic version just never made it. Oh, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that later. My name is Roger Metz, and I'm back in the studio after a road trip to Orlando, Florida, and the ICAST show. Man, there's a lot of stuff out there. Of course, there always has been a lot of stuff, but you walk into the Orange County Convention Center, and there it's overwhelming. The ICAST show is the International Fishing Tackle Dealers Association, where all the stores go to make their package buys for the year. Anybody and everybody is there. For the past couple years, the IFTD, which is the fly fishing cousin to the ICAST, has been in the same building. So you had the ICAST show and the fly fishing show side by side, and I had a ball. I'm worn out, but I had a ball. Anyway, this show, you can listen to it here on your FM dial, the free Conservative Talk 94.5 app. Listen live streaming in on the website. Just look for the listen live link on the right hand side of the page and click it. Also today I have a bucket of ice cold water under the broadcast desk and I'm prepared to use it to keep myself awake. Like I said, road trips, man, I tell you never know what it is. And I hate to say this because it's one of the most quoted lines in all of movie history, but, road trips, especially a first of its kind, is in the words of Mr. Gump, like a box of chocolates, because you just never know what you're going to get. Everybody here knows my version of interstate traffic, but 12 hours on I-95 and I-4, I still avoided the interstate from Charleston back to Greenville. Driving a car and not an SUV for the first time in like 12 years. Now, don't get me wrong, my SUV is a 2002, and that sweetheart just turned 240,000 miles, knock on wood. So it's not like I have a huge SUV and roll it every 2 years, but it's just a whole different. I mean, I'm sitting in this car and the windshield slope is more than the height of the windshield, and trying to pull into a parking place, it was just, wow, a different experience. Staying in a hotel that you book online. I don't stay in many hotels. That you book online, and every one of them, it seems like you look at TripAdvisor and all those, and each one of them is, oh, a great hotel, and the next one is, wouldn't stay there if your life depended on it. The maintenance guy at the hotel decided at 11:45, let's see, this would be a Thursday night at 11:45, dragging over to 12:30 Friday morning to work on the door handle on the room across the hall. I have about 4 hours of sleep that night before I have to leave and come home, and he messes up 2 hours of it, so I'm in a little tussle with a hotel. I don't think I'd be able to pay for less than 2 hours of sleep that night. But the only thing certain about something like this is heat, humidity, and afternoon thunderstorms in summertime Florida. And we got them every afternoon. That and traffic jams on I-4, which cost me about 2 hours of driving time. But I got to see some really cool back roads trying to get around them along with everybody else. Oh, but anyway, it was good. Brought back lots of stuff for you guys. I'll be giving away some stuff here on the air. I've got more goodie packages coming from some vendors that I met down there. I got a whole wad of stuff at the house. Gonna get it all together, figure out how to divvy it up, and I'm gonna be out and about in the next few months. Be down at the FLW Tour in Columbia. Gonna be down at Lake Hartwell here shortly at an event. So, and I'll be giving some away of stuff on the air. So stay tuned. It's worth it. At least I think so. The more I look back at it, the more it was. What's on the schedule today? I'm going to talk about ICAST, IFTD, and all the stuff. I got to handle all the people I saw and met. I'm also going to talk about cystic fibrosis in conjunction with the Low Country Red Trout Celebrity Classic fishing tournament down to Charleston this fall. I want to be a part of that, and I want you to help the show be a part of the cystic fibrosis fundraisers. You know, the one bad thing about planning a road trip interstate wise is you're planning where not to be at certain hours and like not being in Jacksonville or Orlando at 8 o'clock in the morning instead of trying to plan it where you stop at Sheely's and eat barbecue at lunch. That's the worst part about a interstate road trip. The calendar events for today. If you are on Facebook, you need to get your kids on there and look at the pictures on the Camp Wildwood page and the YLL, the Youth Learning Institute pages from the Clemson summer camps. There are some great pictures on there. Those kids are having such a ball. If your child missed getting on one of those camps this summer, look at those web pages. Get them excited about next summer. Put it on your calendar. I'll have those guys back in here in the spring, but they just look like they're having a ball. Absolutely having a ball. If you remember back to when we were talking about the Draper Fishing Rodeo, the sunflowers in Draper are in full bloom. Ken was telling us he has people drive in from all over to take pictures of the sunflowers. They're blooming now, so if you're a photographer, want to go take pictures of a field full of sunflowers, Draper is located at Highway 165 in York County, just before you get to historic Brattonsville. The FLW Tour, the Cup, is coming to Columbia next month, August the 14th through the 17th, and there are a lot of chances to win free stuff. So I've got a lot of calendar events, but let's go through this stuff. There are about 10 or 11 of them here. Of course, they're going to be giving away all sorts of stuff anyway, but these are some special things. If you're a Boy Scout, Boy Scouts of America have teamed up with the FLW Tour for a family fishing adventure to the 2014 Forestwood Cup. Five nights accommodations in Columbia, admittance to the tournament banquet as Tom Reddington's guest of honor, VIP tour of the Columbia Metro Convention Center, VIP fishing trip for two on Sunday the 17th, and VIP sitting for all weigh-ins in the Rodney Atkins concert that night. Number two is the WISTV-10 Fish with a Pro giveaway. Columbia's WISTV-10 is offering a viewer and a guest the opportunity to fish with a FLW Pro on Saturday. Tackle provided. Go to their website, WISTV.com, for details and watch. If you're down in that area and can't make it out, WISTV for the latest Forestwood Cup news. The Free Times Fish Tales giveaway. Free Times of Columbia is offering readers a chance to win a limited edition FLW diecast boat, plus a one-year FLW membership, kids rods and reel combo complete with tackle assortment, and VIP seating for six at the weigh-ins and Rodney Atkins concert. Visit free-times.com. Get more details. WLTX Facebook page, gear up for the Forestwood Cup. They're giving away a bunch of stuff. WLTX News 19 Rods and Reels giveaway is doing first 500 kids to get to the convention center on August 16th and 17th. We'll get a voucher for a free Zebco 33 rod and reel combo. You can pick it up after the weigh-in. Oh, 97.5 WCOS has given away a Ranger Z521C powered by Mercury. Go online to forestwoodcup.com or 97.5wcos.com for more details. The Rodney Atkins concert, they're going to be giving away free tickets from that from WCOS. Don't forget the State of South Carolina Barbecue and Bass Festival is going to be there. Free barbecue. Ooh, I can't wait for that one. There's a couple more. Let's see. Typhoon sunglasses giveaway. Plus, if you go to one of the fishing seminars, they're going to be giving away free Rapala lures. And then fish with a team Chev at the Forestwood Cup. They've got this listed here. I assume you go to Chevrolet.com for more details because they don't give us any information, but it's three nights accommodations for two, fishing experience with Team Chevy Pro Saturday, VIP tour, seating for all the weigh-ins, and a official jersey plus a $500 Visa gift card. So lots of news on the FLW Tour. I'll be there for media day, a couple of more days. Friday afternoon, I'll be with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. They're going to have a booth there with lots of kids' activities. So if you're planning to go to Columbia for the FLW Tour, lots of things for you to do. Columbia in August is going to be kind of warm, so make arrangements, light clothes, shorts, that sort of thing. But come out, take your family down. These fishing tournaments are great family time. The weigh-ins are, you know, all sorts of lights and glitz and that sort of thing. And you never know what you're going to see up on stage. Skeet Reese dancing is a good one, or Casey Ashes singing the national anthem was another good one. It was the weigh-ins that I saw. There's the music. I do have a calendar of events, and I'll get to it on the other side, so stay tuned. Woo-hoo! Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Now we're going to get to the regular calendar events, and then I'm going to go on to ICAST, and we're just going to blow these segments apart today. Normally I try to stay in segment, but not today. It won't happen. The Department of Natural Resources and Mid-Carolina Gun Club is offering an opportunity to youth in South Carolina for a free wing shooting clinic August the 1st from 8:30 to 1:30. Shotgun safety presentation, hands-on with a shooting instructor, and then they'll shoot clay targets, trying to, you know, get into a rhythm of how to use a shotgun, that sort of thing. The first 15 students ages 10 to 17 who contact Jessica Gibson at gibsonj at dnr.sc.gov. That's Gibson, G-I-B-S-O-N, at dnr.sc.gov. We'll be able to attend. There's no charge, clinic, and lunch will be provided. We ought to have about 20 or 30 of these across the state every summer, but I assume the resources are not there. But, hey, if you're one of the first 15, you're a very lucky person. See You on the River and Thomas Creek Brewery are getting together to clean up the Saluda and the Reedy Rivers on August the 2nd, 2014. It's a dual river cleanup. They're going to happen at the same time. At 8:30, volunteers will meet at Thomas Creek to coordinate carpool and shuttle services. One group goes to Saluda to do a canoe-based cleanup, beginning at the dam and taking out Saluda River Yacht Club. Another group will head to downtown Greenville for a riverbank walk and clean up the river, Reedy River in the Cleveland Park Falls Park area. Following the cleanups, Thomas Creek will host celebration festivities at their brewery from 2 to 6. This includes live music from Tiger Junction, which is bluegrass and acoustic variety music, food trucks, their brews, vendor and organization info booths, and a raffle. It is part of the proceeds from this will go to First Descents, an organization that offers young adult cancer fighters and survivors a free outdoor adventure experience designed to empower them to climb, paddle, and surf beyond their diagnosis. The event is free and open to the public. So head out. Let's clean up some rivers and then go have some fun. I was going through some stuff and there is a popped up on the SCDNR web page, a boating education course. It's actually going to happen right here at Cabela's on 1025 Woodruff Road next Saturday, the 26th from 9 to 4. Now in South Carolina, if you're under 16, you're required by law to pass an approved boating education course before operating, of course, without adult supervision, a PWC, which is a jet ski, or a boat powered by a 15-horsepower motor or more. The course materials are on a sixth-grade reading level, usually 68 hours, including the exam time. They're free. And this one's right here in Woodruff Road on Greenville at Cabela's. And in conjunction with that, you know, hunting season's coming up. South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, if you're under, I forget what the age group it was. I had to have one when I went to Colorado, but South Carolina's a little different. But you need a hunter education course if you're going to hunt this fall. Certain age groups have to have them. And there are lots of, if you go to DNR webpage, go under the education, hunter ed, you'll see the tabs there. There are some in Somerville coming up. There were a couple real close. Yeah, one here at Care Baptist Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina next Saturday from 9 to 4. There's another one also the same day at Spartanburg Wildlife Action from 9 to 4 in Spartanburg. August the 2nd, there's one at Crooked Creek Park in Chapin. Don't forget, if you have a young person that you want to take hunting and fishing and they're over 16, in other words, 17 and up, they have to have a hunting license. You also have to have that hunter education card. Don't get caught wanting to go hunting and not have it because those things tail off as hunting season gets here. 21st annual Fishing for Miracles at a Ripley Light Yacht Club and Marina on August 7th through the 9th. It benefits MUSC Children's Hospital. This is a king mackerel tournament. And there was, I know the SKA Association kind of went under, weren't doing any tournaments, and now somebody has bought them trying to bring them back. This is separate from the old SKA. This is Fishing for Miracles. Of course, there's all sorts of Calcuttas and largest awards and prizes, lady anglers, youth anglers, all to benefit MUSC Children's Hospital. That's down in Charleston the 7th through the 9th. Wild Eyes Wednesday Walk is held at Parrish Mountain State Park August 13th from 10 to 12. This is great for you and your kids to go. You walk to the park lab and they have all these different eyes, Now they're replications of what a dragonfly sees, how a deer sees, birds and bees and that sort of thing. So you let your kid, you know, look through and see what it's like. And then you go down to Lake Placid and use your own eyes to see what kind of wildlife you can see. Registration is required. Go to the Paris Mountain State Park website for more information. Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, the Wilderness First Aid Course. Now, we talked about this earlier. They had one on July 5th and 6th. This one's scheduled for the 16th and 17th. Professional certified instructors on wilderness and remote first aid. Some of the topics include anatomy of a wilderness crisis, backcountry essentials, environmental emergency and survival skills, heat-related injuries, principles of fracture rescue plan, soft tissue injuries, and my favorite, sprains and strains. So contact the Glendale Outdoor Leadership for more information on that. DNR, in cooperation with the Ennery District of the U.S. Forest Service, will host a special youth dove hunt in Union County on Saturday, September the 6th. You need to contact the Union DNR office, 864-427-5140, or the U.S. Forest Service Ennery office at 864-427-9858. September 6th, the dove hunt will be at the U.S. Forest Service Herbert Field, 5.5 miles south of Carlisle. 17 years or younger, must be accompanied by an adult 21 or older. And the nice thing about the youth hunt is you don't have to have a hunting license. Their blurb here, Herbert Field is a very large with 40 acres of planted sunflowers, corn, and brown top millet, says the dove field plantings have done well this summer, and there's abundant food. Prospects are very good for quality dove hunting come September. Now, a bit of bad news from DNR is that there will be no drawings for public dove hunts this year, adult or youth. And part of you scratches your head, and why? Because that means there's going to be a madhouse at places like Draper and some of the other DNR fields they used to have. It's a decision they made. You know, you always had a safety talk before. You got a chance to, you know, kind of congregate with other people that got drawn and that sort of thing. So we'll see how this works. DNR sometimes does these things and then reverses decisions. But as far as this year goes, there are no lottery hunts for public dove hunts. So you're on your own. I hope people, when we show up, 200 or 300 of you show up at Draper, that remember courtesy. Don't sit 20 yards away from somebody else. Not only will neither one of you have a good shoot, there's a safety issue involved. So we'll see if this comes back around. I hope they reinstate this because, boy, you just don't want that many people on opening day of dove field. And that's why they went to those draw hunts, to limit people and spread them out a little more. So anyway, a little bit of bad news on the dove front. I'll put all that up on the webpage and the Facebook page this week, and you can go check it out and figure out where to go to get more details. Okay, ICAST. Wow. Lack of sleep just ran all over this one, but it was for a good cause. You know, you walked in there Wednesday afternoon. It's just, I've been to SHOT Show before, but it's been a few years ago when it was in Atlanta. I think it was 1999. So hadn't been to any real big conventions like this, but to see all that fish and tackle and, it was great. But, as a member of the media, I got to go in and vote on the new products, and they have these curtained off rooms with all the new products. Now, over on the fly fishing side, there was probably, maybe 30 different items out, 30 different categories, maybe 20 different categories, and there may be up to eight items in each category. Some only had two, but boy, I tell you, you went on the ICAST side, which is the fishing, the regular, you know, saltwater, freshwater, bait cast spin, fishing side, they may have 50 hard baits to pick from. And how do you pick from that? I left a lot of things blank just because I had no clue. What I think they need to do is supply members of the media one of each of those items in both product showcases so we can test them out before we have to vote on them. There were a couple other guys in the rooms, and we all agreed that we need to have these things several months before we have to vote on them. We need to use them, you know, figure out what's better. And out of the goodness of my heart, I'll even let them store the tractor trailer full of that stuff in my backyard. Anybody else wants to store theirs, I'll use their stuff too. But you walk into this, and it's people. They're everywhere. There are names walking by you that you know, wow, you've known since you were a kid. but you quickly realize it's a big club, which is kind of cool. And now you're part of the club, so to speak. These guys all know each other. They see each other every year. They fish with each other during the year. They, you know, their families are friends. It's really a neat feeling to be in there. And, but secondly, you got to realize those people or those names are there to help those manufacturers and reps and all sell product. You know, I took a digital voice recorder down there. I was like, I'm going to get some interviews with all these people. But there are better times to do that sort of thing than while these guys are there working. Now, out on the floor, you met and talked to them. That was fine. And I did a lot of that. But hopefully with the contacts I made down there, the people that I know and the organizations I'm in now, I'll be able to have those opportunities to get on a more personal level, I guess you'd say, and not in a working environment. We'll see how that turns out. But I was fully prepared to come back with Jimmy Houston saying, or no, not Jimmy, but the other blonde-headed guy from Florida saying, oh, son, you know, or that sort of thing. So thirdly, these people, they're still really nice. You know, these guys have made their living. They're icons in an industry. You didn't have a clue who I was, except there was a red media badge around my neck. But they're all still guys and girls that like to fish. And I had a lot of great conversations with so many different people. You know, as my wife tells me, I could strike up a conversation in a grocery store line, and I have. I can talk to anybody, and normally they talk back to me as long as they don't think I'm crazy. But let me just, I'm going to give you a list of a few people that were there for people that don't fly fish. You know, hang on. I'm going to get to the other side, but you'll still probably know some of these names. You may have heard of Flip Pallet, Walker's K Chronicle, founders of Hell's Bay Boat Works. 16 years on ESPN. I met him once before out on the water in Charleston while he was fishing a tournament down there. Just a great guy. You read his bio. He used to be a banker. You know, Robert Rourke used to be a Wall Street broker until both of them decided they wanted to be hunting and fishing guides. Those kind of biographies make me want to do the same thing. You know, accounting, I've been there way too long, opening my own hunting and fishing guide service. That'll happen just as soon as I pay for two college educations and two weddings. And by that time, I'll be too old to worry about it. Steve Huff. He was at the Tibor booth. Great guy to talk to, just down to earth. Andy Mill, who was an Olympic skier, says Huff is probably the best tarpon guide ever has been or will be. Sandy Murray, owner of Florida Keys Outfitters. I was at Gary Ellis's Redbone booth. Sandy showed up, just joined in the conversation. He was pretty funny. He said, Gary, who's holding down Key West while everybody else is at ICAST? And something was said about the wives probably do a better job of holding it down than when we're there anyway. Andy Mill. If that name rings a bell, he was a two-time Olympic downhill combined skier, 1976 and 80. I went up to him and I said, Andy, I said, introduced myself. I said, I just want to know, have you always been a fly fisherman? Because he is a huge tarpon guy. And he said, no. He said, you know, I learned to fly fish when I was a kid. I learned to tie flies when I was 12. That's how I made my money. I sold flies to the local Aspen, Colorado fly shops. And when I was in Austria training during the off season, I fished those streams over there to relax. He said, it wasn't until after I got out of skiing that I, you know, got into saltwater fishing. And he is a tarpon junkie. And he's got some great videos out there. If you like tarpon fishing, you know who Andy Mill is. He said, life is good. He said, I live 6 months out west and 6 months in the Keys. And he was talking to me, who's, you know, he doesn't know me from Adam, but really nice people down there. Coming up on a break, I'll talk about a few people that I saw over on the regular bass fishing side and some other stuff that I think you'll find interesting. So I'll see you on the other side of the break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Over on the other fishing side, the ICAST and all, was a lot of more people. You know, I was walking in the door Wednesday, and one of the first displays, I ran into Denny Brower. And if you know anything about bass fishing, you know Denny is another really nice guy. You know, he was there on Lake Wiley. I was there. We were, you know, chasing after your favorite pro and all. We followed Denny most all of Saturday. That was the year Taka won, and Taka, we saw Taka a bunch too. Of course, Taka was there too. Saw Taka at the show. Skeet Reese. If you've never met Skeet, he's a hoot. He's from California. And I think it was in the Classic in 1995 up on High Rock Lake. I was there, and one of the weigh-ins, they had him up on stage. At that time, you know, somebody from California was kind of, we don't know what he's doing in the Bassmasters tour. But they had him dancing up on the stage. He was pretty funny. All these guys are, you know, my age now, and it's funny looking back on the time. There was Kevin Van Dam was there. For him to have won as many Classics and been Angler of the Year so many times, he is just a down-to-earth, personable guy. One of the nicest I know of. Jimmy Houston, Roland Martin. I almost ran over Jimmy Houston coming out of the men's room one day. I felt so bad about it, but it's, you just, that's the kind of people you run into. And all of this to say, when you're out at these events, like the FLW Tour coming up, the BASS tournament, if you're somewhere around, these people, they love to talk about what they do. Don't be hesitant to go up to them. Wednesday I got there, I was like, okay, I'm going to stick a sock in my mouth. I'm not going to say anything to anybody. But Thursday I walked around, I talked to people. They love to talk about it. And if you like fishing, shit, you know, talk about a fishing store. They love to hear stuff like that. So don't be afraid when you're the FLW Tour and you see a pro, just go talk to them. Nice people. Saw Davey Height and his wife walking around. And a lot of these younger pros, I had no idea who they were. They all had their shirts on and with their sponsors and all that, doing their job and all. But, you know, then there are all these little guys like Greenfish Tackle who have their take on a little football jig. Shane's Baits has their Alabama rigs. These are two of the guys that sponsor the University of South Carolina fishing team. And Thursday, Geddes Brannon, you've heard him here on the show, was down there. So I spent a lot of Thursday afternoon hanging around with Geddes at the booths and going around with him and talking to people he knows. And you never know how careers start out, but Geddes was there, and Shane's Baits had a pro that was supposed to fish the bass tub for him and demonstrate their lures and all. Well, he had a medical emergency, had to leave the show. So Geddes Brannon, young college student that he is, was up on the bathtub at ICAST fishing in front of all those people showing a demonstration of Shane's Baits, which is really cool. There's a YouTube video if you want to go out there and look at it. Like I said, you never know how a career gets started. There was a couple beside one of the booths that had removable skins for crankbaits. You could change it from Fire Tiger to Shad Pattern to whatever. They were from South Dakota. American Ingenuity. Some guys from England with a new trout bait that's going to be perfect for kids up in the Saluda River. I got some of it. I'm getting some more of it. One of their partners is from Boiling Springs. So, you know, it's a really small world. That was really neat because I'm going to work with them. We're going to get some of those stuff out here. When as DNR stocks the Saluda River, you want to take your kid up there. This is a fun bait. You can roll it around in your hand. He showed me how to roll it around, flatten it out, put your hook and line in the middle, twist the front edge, and you've got like a paddle tail. And I could see where it'd be great. Kids get to play with it. It doesn't stink much. It smells a little bit, but a really fun bait. I got a lot of that that's going to be here, and we're going to try to do a kids fishing rodeo with that stuff. Those guys as a sponsor. Look out. There's a really cool one. There's a suction cup Bluetooth speaker system for your boat, and it's waterproof. That was one of those products you look at and you're going, why didn't I think of that? But it was really neat. They had a fish tank there. They had one submerged and playing. Really nice. I brought a lot of stuff back. It's going in the goodie closet. There's more on the way via the U.S. Postal Service. A lot of great contacts. And that's why I went. I went hoping I would meet people, get stuff, make contacts that'll help this show, the guests I'm going to be able to bring in here, the show content, ideas for segments. Now I just have to put it all together. And like everybody else, when we left, I left Thursday night after the Costa party. You know, you can't wait to get back to next year. So it's going to be a good thing for this show that I went. I said in the intro, first segment about cystic fibrosis and the Redbone tournament. When I started the idea for this show, I wanted a charity that we could support, but it also had to have something to do with Woods and Water. And you know, you run down the list of all the charities and they've all got huge name recognition and everything. And you kind of look for that small one. And I think cystic fibrosis is it. And one reason it is, the girls I talked to in Mount Pleasant know it. And I also talked to Gary Ellis. who actually started the Redbone at the ICAST show. Just a little bit of background. Redbone, what is a Redbone? Well, the first, in 1984, the first year of the Redbone, Gary and Susan Ellis's daughter Nicole was born. She was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. They were told that she might live to her early teens. And of course, like I did with the girls in Charleston, I said, what is cystic fibrosis? They spent 20 minutes giving me a lesson on cystic fibrosis. And so Gary started along with Ted Williams. And if you didn't know, Ted Williams is a huge fly fisherman down in the Keys and fisherman. They founded the Redbone Celebrity Tournament Series to help Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Guides and anglers, celebrities from film and sports. The first year they had 33 boats. They fished for redfish and bonefish. That's how they got the name Redbone. They raised $16,000 that first year and introduced CF into the consciousness of the very caring community of fishermen there in Isla Mirada. And as it's grown to what it is today, all over the United States and the world. In the last 21 years, the Redbone has made a total contribution to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation of over $10 million. In 2009 alone, it was $1.5 million to catch the cure. When it was started, children with CF rarely lived to attend high school. Today, the median age of survival for a person with CF is 35 years old. Now, they tell me in Charleston there are some families here who have kids with CF. We're going to have them on as we get closer to the kickoff of this. But they're saying that not a single life is yet to be saved from this disease. So it's really not a something to celebrate, but it does give hope for the future. So that's where we're going to get behind on this, on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Today, Nicole is 27. That's Gary's daughter who was diagnosed with it, and she's still waiting for a cure. So what is cystic fibrosis? It's one of the number one genetic killer of children and young adults in this country. CF causes the body to produce a thick mucus, which clogs the lungs. You get chronic lung infections, fatal lung damage, and also interferes with digestion. Symptoms vary. There are approximately 30,000 people in the United States who have CF. The foundation was formed in 1955 to search for a cure. Approximately 3 babies are born with CF every day, and 1 person dies. So the details of what we're going to do here on this show is we are going to raise money to sponsor a celebrity boat or a boat in the tournament. It's a total of $2,500 to sponsor the boat. And here's how we're going to run it. I don't care if you make a dollar contribution or if you make a $1,000 contribution to CF, and don't make those today. We're trying to build a landing pad for Woods and Water, South Carolina. I've got to talk with the girls in Charleston again. From a dollar, however much you want to gain. The first contribution, your name will go into a hat. And when we reach $2,500 or however much we reach by the deadline day, I'm going to draw a name out of that hat, and that person is going to go to Charleston, and we are going to fish the Cystic Fibrosis Redbone Charity Tournament in Charleston. Let me tell you what, when you go down there, they treat you right. They have a Friday night captain's meeting, dinner, and auction. Saturday morning, we're going to get up and fish from 8 until 3. They're going to provide breakfast and lunch. Sunday morning, you're going to get up, fish from breakfast and fish from 8 to 3. Sunday afternoon, you come back in, tabulate the scores, give out awards, free stuff. Then they have a barbecue awards reception after that. So for the whole weekend, all you've got to do is provide 2 nights of lodging. If you're a corporation and want to donate to this, there in this package is recognition in the tournament program. If you're a corporation and I draw the corporation name out of the hat or whatever, the advertising for that corporation in the book is yours. I was going to do Woods and Water SC on it, but if you contribute, then you get the advertising recognition in the tournament program booklet. You get a tournament bag, gift bag, other awards throughout the weekend. And if you're a company, you could have the opportunity to put promotional materials in the participant gift bag. I don't know exactly when the cutoff for that will be. Next weekend, I will have talked to the girls in Charleston. We will have all the details worked out. when I was talking to Gary Ellis down in Orlando about this, he was like, what a great idea. And I hope it is. I hope you'll contribute. I know we're pulled and we're asked for money day in and day out, but this is a chance for you to go fishing and fishing with some good people. I mean, there's these charter captains who donate 2 days for this tournament are the best. They don't know exactly who the celebrity is going to be at this point, but they're both fishermen. I know the inventor of DOA lures is going to be there fishing. So think about it. We'll talk more about it next week and on down the road. I'm ready to do it. How about you? Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We've almost made it through. Haven't had to use the bucket of ice water yet either. Coming back from Orlando, I had the opportunity to stop in at the Waddell Mariculture Center, which if you heard the original broadcast and heard the Best Of show, you know a little bit about it. It's down in Bluffton, South Carolina. It's one of those things where after you get burned on the beach for 2 or 3 days and you're looking for something to do indoors, go find out about the Mariculture Society in South Carolina. While I was there, I originally went down to talk about the Red Snapper program. They're having a benefit tournament for the Waddell Center in Hilton, had a Hilton Head Boat Center. One of the main sponsors and I were going to talk, but he's a busy individual. Plus, he wants to fish this time of the year. So we're going to put that off until probably 2 weeks, have him on, talk about the redfish, I mean the Red Snapper, stocks, research, that sort of thing. But when I walked into Waddell, I was in a meeting, Al Stokes, the main guy there, and I picked up a copy of The Dude, and it is. It's the D-U-D-E, and it's a local paper. I actually found an online version, which is good because I left my paper version at home and I needed some information out of it. Just a really one of those local little sheet newspapers that has some really good information in it. And I was reading it, and about halfway through, it has an article in here on Waddell, and Waddell actually got $1.1 million this year to redo that facility. And the reason they had to redo it is because the electrical is out of code, the HVAC is out of code, so they were probably going to have to shut it down. But anyway, it was in the budget, and Nikki Haley vetoed it. And Al told me that in the Senate, they had a 40-3 vote for reinstating the funding. So 40 senators in South Carolina saw the need for it because Waddell is responsible for a lot of South Carolina's saltwater fisheries. And not only saltwater fisheries, but some of the freshwater too. So, and the studies on the saltwater side, the saltwater farming, if you will, side of it. So when I was down there, they, you know, their annual budget is about $350,000 to run the whole place. They get a $1.1 million to redo it. And as I was talking to Al, he said, oh, wait a minute. He said, I want to let you know something. He said, my traffic down here is up this year, this summer. I got more people coming through here. And I've actually had two couples tell me they heard about Waddell when you had me on. And one of them even made a contribution to the 501c3 fund there in Beaufort that helps maintain Waddell over and above what funding they get from DNR. So thank you to those listeners. If you heard about them here, and when you hear about things, the calendar or segments or places to go, let me know about them. I'd love to know. Email me, you know, send me a message, something, let the station know. But it was really nice to know that somebody up here heard, I don't know what they were at, Hilton Head or Beaufort or whatever, went by Waddell and toured it. So, but you've only got about a month to do that this summer, because in probably 6 weeks, they're going to move the whole operation from the administration building to the house back on the river. And then they are going to gut the administration building. New windows, doors, new labs, new skylights. It's probably going to take about 8 months to get it all done, he said. Two of those months, he said, would be paperwork. But, anyway, a shout out to all those senators who reinstated that funding. Waddell's a great place to go visit. I'm happy for them, and I can't wait till next summer, go down there and see what the new place looks like. If you're down going towards Buford Hilton Head for the next month, still a great place to go see. They just wrapped up their striper program. They had done a 4-year striper stocking program, and those stripers were going in the salt water, mostly in the Ashley River. I asked him what he was going to do. He said there was some talk about doing another saltwater striper program and stocking several different other rivers in South Carolina. So, you know, Waddell does the cobia program. They were weighing spotted sea trout when I got there. And these sea trout are probably 4 inches long, but they were getting ready to go in the water. Later on, they stocked some of the redfish and then the stripers. So, great place to go. It was always good news. Good to see Al. He's just a really nice guy. If you've been down there, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, news across the country, a couple of duck stories here. There has been legislation introduced in the U.S. House and the Senate to raise the duck stamp from $15 to $25. I'll pay it. I usually buy 2 duck stamps a year anyway. And did you know that the duck stamp turned 80 this year? It was 1934, the first year that the duck stamp was implemented. It was during the Dust Bowl, the Depression, and all that. And duck numbers have been going down. There's some huge stories out there about the effects of the duck stamp. I'm trying to get somebody from DU to call in, and we'll talk about the duck stamp. But there has been a bill now reintroduced to raise it from 15 to 25. I hope it passes. I certainly don't mind paying $10 more, considering it hasn't been raised since 1991. And I don't think many duck hunters out there would complain about that. So happy birthday to the federal duck stamp. And looking forward to paying a little more. Looking forward maybe just to buying one from now on. Or maybe I'll still buy 2. The other news about ducks is we've just had the, if I can find it here in the paper version of the show today. Yes, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service just released the harvest surveys. And what they do is they go up above the prairie pothole region, and they survey breeding pairs of ducks. And it's a pretty interesting process. The couple that was next to one of the booths I was sitting at ICAST were from South Dakota, and they confirmed it had been a very wet year up there, which is good for the ducks. Overall, they're up 8%. Mallards, similar to 2013, which is still 42% above the long-term average. Gadwalls, similar to 2013, which is 102% above the long-term average. Widgeon, 18% above 2013. Greenwing teal, similar to 2013. All of these are still above the long-term averages. Blue-wing teal, northern shovelers, pintails up 20% below the long-term average. So pintails are still down there struggling. That's why they cut it back to 1 bird. Redheads, similar to 2013, canvasbacks, similar to 2013. The canvasbacks we get down to Louisiana and shoot, those are some of the toughest ducks to bring down. Or maybe it's just my bad shooting on, cause they fly so fast. I don't know. But, good news for duck hunters this year. Looks like it's going to be a good season. Days like today makes you start thinking about duck hunting. Just needs to be about 40 degrees, cloudy and drizzly. Those are my kind of days. From the Post and Courier, and I've talked about her a little bit before. You may know who Mary Lee is. Mary Lee is the great white shark that was tagged off Cape Cod that likes South Carolina. And they think Mary Lee spent all winter off the coast of South Carolina so she could give birth to her pups. They're trying to figure it out, but scientists say that she may have given birth to a great white shark right off our coast. And I was talking to Al about this, and he said, yeah, he said, we believe she did. She hasn't pinged in a while. And he was saying that the estuarian system down in the low country, because it's one of the few that doesn't have a lot of freshwater intrusion in it, like other places, it's a perfect place for them to give birth because there's lots of fish for the pups to eat. So I'm going to be interested to see if we can find another story to see if we have some great whites that are residents of South Carolina. This may be a birthing ground for them, and we just don't know it. But see, when OSearch tagged her in 2012, for most of last year and now this year, she stayed there. Now they think she's going back north. She hasn't pinged in a while, and they think she's headed back up north, and that's just what they're projecting based on their research and that sort of thing. Very interesting thing. Go to the website, www.ocearch, that's OCEARCH.org. They're in charge of tracking great whites. They also are doing a joint program with DNR, tagging tiger sharks down in Port Royal Sound. And we're going to have some more information on that too later. I'm in contact with a biologist in charge of that, and he's going to be giving us some more information. They've tagged 7 of 10 so far. So look forward to that. More information there. Do you know somebody that has a windmill? The South Carolina Wildlife Magazine is looking for somebody that has a windmill to potentially do an article on you. So if you have a windmill or know somebody that has a windmill, contact the news desk at dnr.sc.gov. Who knows? Maybe you'll be featured on the cover. I don't know what they're going to do with you, but you know, if you have a windmill, let them know. Lottery hunts for deer in South Carolina started July the 1st. Now, this year, there are going to be no paper applications. So it's all going to be online. I went on to do my hunting license a few weeks ago, and they now accept all 4 major credit cards, which is nice. You still have your accumulated preference points. However, the temporary wildlife management area permit that they used to offer on the lottery hunts are now only going to be offered during the process to the waterfowl and turkey hunters. So if you get drawn for a DNR deer hunt and you need a WMA permit, you're going to have to go buy that on your own. They're not going to offer that in the package anymore. So it's open from now to August 15th. There's a list of them on the DNR webpage. Go check it out. There's also an option for just a preference point, like the Western states. You can get just a preference point if you don't think you're going to be able to go this year, but you want to get in the lottery process. Probably cost you about $10 to do it. It doesn't say here how much it will cost you, but usually there is a service fee. So it may be $3. I know that's the DNR service fee for processing a credit card. The wood stork. If you listen in when Scotty Davis from Low Country Fly Shop was here, we were talking about the wood storks. Yep. They just downlisted them off the endangered species, site. So that's good news. Every once in a while that thing works. Most of the time it's just overbearing and is protective of something that really doesn't need protecting. But you do see a lot more wood storks down in the low country, South Carolina. It says in here when they first started this, they were only breeding, let's see, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama. But the breeding was primarily done in Central and South Florida. Now they're finding nesting in North Carolina, Mississippi, with significant nesting Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. So good news for the wood stork. And they are a pretty bird. They're a big bird, too. Well, we made it, almost. It's dreary out there, so I'm going to give you a double shot today. We're going to have our little Chuck Norris here. It's considered an accomplishment to go down Niagara Falls in a wooden barrel. Chuck Norris can go up Niagara Falls in a cardboard box. And I'm lost it here. Okay. And in the section of the dude, and I give them credit because they do have a pretty good little page here. There's another little one in here that's pretty funny, and it's from the dude. And they always refer to the guy in these stories as the dude. This dude brings his best buddy home after work one day for dinner, unannounced. His wife begins screaming at him, and his friend just sits and listens. And as she rants, my hair and makeup are not done. The house is a mess. The dishes are not done. The children won't do their homework and are being rude by staying on their cell phones and computers all the time. I'm still in my pajamas and I can't be bothered with cooking tonight. Why did you bring him home with you? The dude replied, because he's thinking about getting married. So, sorry, honey. I had to do it. I also have another little section. It's from a teacher in here who is talking about answers that they get on these exams and all. And we got a little more time, so I'll go through this. In what battle did Napoleon die? Somebody answered his last battle. What's the main reason for divorce? A marriage. What looks like half an apple? The other half of the apple. How do you lift an elephant with one hand? You'll never find an elephant that has only one hand. If it took 10 men, come back here. Oh well. missed that one. If it took 8 men 10 hours to build a wall, how long would it take 4 men to build it? None. It's already built. Anyway, thanks for bearing with me today. There's James. Get outside this week. We'll be back next week.